It's time for Health Talk with Sheila White on FM Talk 106.5. Health Talk examines health issues that are important to you. Join the conversation with your questions and comments at 251-343-0106. Now your host, Sheila White.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight we are going to talk all about sleep. Basically, the majority of the people that we see at our office have problems sleeping, and they haven't sought any help or any resources that are available in the Gulf Coast to help them with their sleep issues and sleep problems. We did a little research this past weekend on who provides basically services to people with in need of help with their sleep disorders. And there's a lot of resources out there, but there really aren't a lot of people that you trust that can help you when you go in and say, hey, I have this problem. Can you help me with this problem? I can't sleep. I have sleep apnea. All night I'm up walking the floor. Who do you turn to? So basically, we found Mobile Infirmary, of course, the leader in health in the area. And tonight we're going to be speaking with Robbie Williams. She's with the Sleep Services Center at Mobile Infirmary. Hi, Robbie. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, I wanted for you to tell us a little bit about you and what you do, where you're located, and just to give us, introductory.
Well, I am the manager at the Sleep Center at Mobile Infirmary. I've been with the Infirmary Health Systems for about 5 years now, but I've been in sleep medicine for 27, 28 years, which is longer than I really want to admit. And I've gotten to really see the field grow and change and help a lot of different people in sleep. My background is respiratory therapy, but I'm a registered polysomnographic technologist, which is a fancy name for a sleep tech.
Well, you, when I went online, I mean, there were tons of resources like for sleep disorders. But really, I mean, just to be honest, I hear a lot, I see a lot, but I don't know what to trust, basically. Is this person really going to help me? Can they help me? There are a variety of sleep disorders that are out there. First thing I wanted to kind of discuss is a little background on sleep disorders. What causes them and what type of sleep disorders do you see the most here in the area?
Well, if you look at our coding book, there's 1,000 different sleep disorders.
Wow.
And they're kind of all, they're divided up by what their cause is. Mm-hmm. One of the most common, and this is the one that everybody hears about, is obstructive sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. And what that means is the people have problems with their breathing during their sleep.
Oh,
and
wow.
Sometimes it only happens maybe every 4 or 5 minutes, and then some people it happens every minute, and some people it happens every 30 seconds. So that is disrupting a person's sleep, and they're actually doing physical labor just to breathe. So
wow.
If you hear somebody sitting there snoring and thinking, oh, they're sawing logs, they're sleeping so good, they're not. They're actually working just to breathe. So that's one of the most common sleep disorders we see.
Is sleep apnea? That's the most common. Okay, so if I had sleep apnea, and am I afraid to go to sleep at night? When I get sleepy, what do I do?
Well, in a lot of cases, their response is, I'm just tired, or I'm getting older, and that's why I'm fatigued, and that's not necessarily the case. But everybody has a different reaction to it. If I told you that you were not breathing every minute, some people's reaction to that would be, oh, well, then I can't go to sleep. And they get very anxious about that. Other people is, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm sleeping just fine. So everybody reacts to it different. Most of the time when we talk with people that have sleep apnea, their complaints are snoring, being tired, fatigued, not feeling like they're rested when they get up in the morning, and they're not because they're working all night long. So that's some of the most common, and morning headaches. Morning headaches is one of the big things that we hear a lot of. Or people complain that they're waking up all night. Mm-hmm. You know, they're waking up repeatedly during the night.
How do I know I have sleep apnea? How do I know that? Like, how do I know it? Like, when I go to sleep and I wake up the next day, I have a headache, or how would I know?
Well, you would never feel completely rested, mm-hmm. and you would never feel like you got a good night's sleep. You know, mm-hmm. you see those people that get up in the morning and they're ready to go and take on the world and, mm-hmm. you know, want to go exercise and all that. Well, the sleep apnea patients are usually those patients that don't have that kind of energy, or they get sleepy throughout the day, mm-hmm. or their spouse or bed partner or their next door neighbors mm-hmm. complaining about their snoring.
Okay.
That's some of the typical things that we see with people with sleep apnea, and those are more common. So, one of the biggest misconceptions of sleep apnea is all about weight. Mm-hmm. People that are overweight don't always have sleep apnea, and people that are nice and fit don't always not have sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. So if you're snoring, if somebody has seen you breathing during the night and they've seen you actually not breathe, although your chest is still moving up and down, you're not moving any air. Mm-hmm. And that's all things that we look at when we start, you know, interviewing a patient of what's going on with your sleep.
Mm-hmm. So the causes of sleep apnea, is it dietary or is it just really just breathing?
It's actually where your airway mm-hmm. is closing, mm-hmm. slowly closing. It is a physical malfunction of the airway.
Got it.
And it's where you have a physical closure of the airway mm-hmm. and you're still working trying to breathe, but you're not moving any air, or you're moving less air. Mm-hmm. So that's what causes sleep apnea. It can be from a deviated septum. Mm-hmm. It can be from large tonsils. It can be from your soft palate being too big, mm-hmm. Excess tissue in the back of the throat, a large tongue, big necks. So all of those things kind of play together of what's happening
to cause it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear a lot of people go through that. I mean, even myself, I'm not in the business, so I kind of don't really know. You know, I'm not as well educated in sleep disorders as I would like to be. And that's why I'm glad you're here today. But one of the things that I wonder is because I guess people shouldn't try to self-diagnose themselves, correct?
Well, there's a lot of Fitbits and a lot of things that are now telling you, hey, you're sleeping good or you're not sleeping mm-hmm. good. And they're basing it off of heart rate, and they're basing it off of movement. Mm-hmm. But sleep studies is one of the least painful studies you can have done in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we just want you to sleep. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that I've always said is I want to get that nice, healthy person that just snores. Mm-hmm. Because if I can treat him, I can prevent heart attacks and strokes and high blood pressure mm-hmm. and those other things going down the mm-hmm. road. So if you have a concern, you can always talk with your primary care physician about it. They may refer you to a sleep specialist. And if you have a concern, you can always refer yourself to the sleep specialist. Mm-hmm. So because the doctors do take direct referrals, you know, if a patient calls in and say, hey, I think I've got something going on, I'm tired all the time, they're going to bring you in and interview and say, what's going on? And ask some of those questions, how sleepy you are during the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's a lot of information for me. Like the one thing I love about this show is that I get to learn with the audience, because I really have limited knowledge on sleep disorders. I do know about sleep apnea, but I never knew what the causes were. And it's very interesting because I often think that things can be fixed with like dietary or working out. And when we come from break, we're going to talk a little bit more. But, you know, when I talk to some of our clients, they basically think that they can just sleep longer or, you know, fix it themselves, because I think the biggest portion is trusting. But we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from break. So when we also give your contact information out. Please come back and join us.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
And friends, today we are speaking with Robbie Williams. She is a sleep expert, I would say. She has taught me so much in the first 10 minutes of the show, things I did not know. because I'm me myself, and you know, I'm gonna come see you because I personally can't sleep, and my mind is mostly related, I think, to, and we have a caller which we're gonna go to, but I think it's related to being really competitive. And when I lay down and get ready to go to bed at night, my mind just continuously races. And if I sleep, it's like 30 minutes or, you know, I wake back up and I want to do this really bad that, you know, something that I left on the table because I can't slow down enough to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I would like to talk about. But first, let's take the question from Mary. Hi, Mary. This is Sheila. We're on the line with our sleep expert, Miss Robbie Williams.
Hey, Sheila.
Oh.
Hi, Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, what is your question?
I wanted to ask you if walking and talking in your sleep falls under sleep disorders. Because it's really frightening for the, you know, the other person if you're sitting there talking to the air.
Well, it actually does. It's actually called a parasomnia, and it's called somnoquil. But we actually see patients that do walk and talk. And part of it depends on what stage of sleep you're in when these things are happening, of how significant it would be. And the other part of it is the age. If we see a kid between the ages of, say, 7 to 11, we're not that concerned about it because most of the time they grow out of it, especially little boys. They'll get up and walk around because they're usually in a very deep stage of sleep. Mm-hmm. But as a person ages and this is still happening, it could be a REM behavior disorder or it could be something else that was going on.
Okay. What do you do for that disorder?
Well, it, like I said, it kind of goes back to what stage of sleep you're in and what else is going on health-wise, but a lot of times it can be just medication.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call, Mary. So what about older people that walk in their sleep?
Usually the people that walk in their sleep as they get older. Again, it's kind of one of those things that you can actually, as we get older, our sleep pattern across the board changes. So as we get older, we tend to see things. And 99% of the time, it is usually medication-related that is causing these things to happen, especially as we get older. And as we get older, we actually need less sleep. And we all think we need more sleep, but we actually need less sleep as we age.
Is it true that when you get older that you tend to wake up earlier in the morning?
Yes.
Is that true?
It is. And usually the reason why is because you tend to go to bed earlier. Okay. Is because, oh, I'm tired or I hurt, let me go lay down. Well, if I'm laying down in the bed and I drift off to sleep and I go to sleep at 8 o'clock and by 4 a.m. I've had enough sleep and I wake up, well, I want to sleep a little bit later. So that's all plays a part into it as well.
Well, what about when you what about, like, for example, what I was mentioning before the break? Mm-hmm. So I can sleep but it's limited because my mind just continuously races at night.
One of the best things that I've heard and through my career is keep a notepad by your bed, keep a notebook by your bed. So if you think of those ideas or before you go to sleep, jot them down. Now I don't have to remember them and I can relax and I'm not constantly going through my mind thinking of these things that I need to do tomorrow, I need to do next week. I can actually make that list and I can check it off and I'm not worried about that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have the problem of getting their mind to shut down, but that's one thing. The other thing is don't drink caffeine late at night.
Okay.
Caffeine and nicotine as well are two of the biggest things that will keep you awake and keep you going and turn off your electronic devices. Mm-hmm. I call it sleep hygiene tips for a healthy
I like
night's
that.
Sleep is just, you know, those kind of things is you don't eat a heavy meal within 2 hours of going to bed. You don't take a really hot bath within because your body, the temperature has to adjust. Mm-hmm. You don't drink caffeine late if you have a problem with it. Have a set bedtime and a set getting up time and make it consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some things, and like I can't say that enough, turn your electronic devices off.
Well, I've trained myself to sleep with the TV on.
You've got a habit of sleeping with the TV on. There's actually been a lot of research done in the last several years on the blue light from TV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, it may help you drift off to sleep, but it actually disrupts your sleep. And when we're recording somebody's sleep and we're looking at the brain waves, mm-hmm. the light changing on the TV, we can actually see the brain waves changing.
Really?
Absolutely.
So you're still listening to the television while you're asleep?
That and the light mm-hmm. changing, because light and darkness is one of our biggest timekeepers of when we're supposed to be awake and when we're supposed to be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're getting artificial light in there, our body says, hey, I'm supposed to be awake. Let's mm-hmm. get up and go. And it may be 12 o'clock
mm-hmm.
because you're not in control of what your TV's showing, whether it's commercials or, mm-hmm. you know, a light, bright, sunshiny mm-hmm. day. Those things always disrupt a person's sleep.
Well, like, there's a lot of things that I have that affect my sleep, which I'm sure is a lot of, with a lot of our audience tonight, because I don't know, I go to bed on time sometimes, but I lay there, like you said, so I'm going to try without the television, but I've done it my entire life, and I would imagine it'd probably be hard for me to retrain myself not to sleep with the television on.
It's really not as hard as you
really?
Think it would be.
Okay.
And it's a habit. It mm-hmm. truly is a habit. It's not something you need. You use that as your – it's just like anybody that has their favorite blanket and they've got to mm-hmm. have their blanket or they can't sleep. So it's your comfort feature.
Well, what do you think about – like, okay, so I think I may have a sleep disorder, for example.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when to go seek an expert? Or seek an expert opinion and some help.
Well, and truly it's when you feel like that this is disrupting your mm-hmm. everyday activity mm-hmm. and this is changing your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you call the sleep center today, what we would do is we would refer you to one of our sleep experts. We have three boarded sleep doctors that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
So we would refer you to one of them for a consultation, and what they're going to do is they're just going to sit down and talk with you. What is your concern, and what can we do? And not every person that goes to see a sleep physician is necessarily going to wind up in a sleep center.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at that point, they are better capable of sending you in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's just snoring, whether you need to have an ear, nose, and throat evaluation for your airway,
mm-hmm.
something like that. So if you kick your legs during the night, if you have insomnia, just to give you some of those feedback things mm-hmm. to get you where you're getting a more consistent night's sleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, you know, sleep. Sleep is so important. But I often think that people take it for granted. I really do. Like they, you know, I'll sleep maybe an hour here or, you know, an hour there. But if I don't get a good night's sleep, one of the things I wanted to talk about was what does that mean for me the next morning? Like, have you seen patients come in where, you know, like, for example, I can't sleep. So I have really excessive bags under my eyes. Like, you can tell I don't sleep. But the benefits for sleep, that's really what I want to go over. What are the benefits of sleep, like good sleep?
Well, benefits of sleep are, if you are in a chronic sleep-deprived mm-hmm. state where you do not get enough sleep, your brain is not as sharp. Mm-hmm. You're driving behind the wheel. You cannot make those quick responses mm-hmm. that you may need to make. We've seen a lot of increase car accidents, and they're involving sleep because people are not – their reflexes are going down. Your concentration is going down. High blood pressure, strokes, all of those things, if you're not getting a good night's sleep, can impact your overall health. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize, you know, everybody talks about eating and exercising. Mm-hmm. Sleep should be a part of that conversation. If you're not getting enough sleep, your overall health is going to pay for it.
I believe that because I have headaches. Mm-hmm. I don't have really bad – my mom suffered from really bad migraines, but I have headaches. I wake up and I just don't have that extra you know, like I need to really go out and face the world. So I do recognize some of the benefits of sleep, but it's just really hard to get the sleep that I need. And what I want to talk about after our next break is – you know, there's a lot of over-the-counter medications like the PM drugs that you can take to go to sleep. I've often been afraid of those because I'm thinking I've become addicted to them. So we'll talk more about that after the break. So basically, tonight you're listening to Sheila White with talking with my friend, Robbie. She's from the Mobile Infirmary Sleep Services Center. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call us tonight because we basically want to talk with you about having your best life. And sleep is very important.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sheila White with friends. Thank you for joining us on Health Talk again this week. And this week, I'm honored to have a local expert. Her name is Robbie Williams. She's with Mobile Infirmary Sleep Services Center, I guess. We are proud to have Mobile Infirmary here and her here, particularly because sleep is so important and you need to go somewhere where you trust because I did research on sleep before doing this show, and there are hundreds of people out there claiming to be able to solve your problem. And I firmly believe you must live your best life. That is the whole goal of this show. And so Robbie has been educating me on sleep, and I'm so honored to have you here, Robbie. Can you tell them how to reach you throughout the week and what services you provide?
Well, you can reach the Sleep Center at Mobile Infirmary. Our phone number is 251-435-5559. If you ask for me, I'll be glad to talk with you. What we were going to do is just find out what's going on and refer you to one of our sleep physicians because that's the best way to figure out what's going on. I will give you some pointers, but I'm not going to make a diagnosis, not my job. But we will refer you to a sleep expert so they can do an evaluation with you. And, you know, if you need us or if there's something we can do for you after that, we'd be glad to help.
Well, we have two callers on the line with us now. Terry, are you there?
So I'm here. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for calling. And what question do you have for Robbie tonight?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I have two questions, actually. I live very close to a road that is a very busy road with lots of traffic noise. I know that you said that watching, having the TV on when you're sleeping is not good. What about sound machines? Give me some suggestions how I can get that noise to not be so loud. And my other question is, you said that, you know, the older you get, the less sleep you need. Can you give me an idea about that? How much sleep would, say, a 65-year-old need?
Well, the thing with the noise, the sound machines are actually a really, really good idea because they are a constant sound, whereas a TV, the sound goes up and down because commercials are always louder. But sound machines are actually really good, or sleep with earplugs. And there's a lot of people that do that, or noise-canceling earphones or something like that. As we get older, yes, we do need less sleep. But even at 65, you know, you should still be getting 6 to 7 hours of sleep if you don't get that full 8 hours of sleep. One of the things, as we get older and our bones start creaking and we start hearing snap, crackle, pop, we all think, well, if I lay down, it won't hurt so bad. And we drift off to sleep, and we tend to have what we call advanced sleep phase. So the biggest thing is to make sure that you have a set bedtime with at least 7 hours between when you go to bed to when you get up. But if you're getting 6 to 7 hours of sleep, and that's in a 24-hour period, if you're taking naps or something like that, then, you know, look at that as well. But your best sleep is going to be good consolidated sleep.
That brings up another question. Are naps beneficial? Are they helpful?
They can be, yes, ma'am, absolutely. The biggest thing is how long you nap and what time of the day you nap. You don't want to nap late in the afternoon, say after 6 o'clock, because that's going to disrupt your sleep once you do go to bed. We were talking earlier about naps, and our normal body rhythm, we take a dip between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. So if you take a 15, 20, 30-minute nap, that's okay, and it makes you feel better. Then the Spaniards have it right by taking their afternoon siestas.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, Andrew, you're on the air now with Robbie. What is your question?
Hi, Robbie. Thanks for taking my call. I have a two-part question, and maybe a three-part question, since I just listened to the last caller. The first one is depression linked to sleep disorder, and also is high blood pressure linked to a sleep disorder, and is it because of the REM sleep, the lack of REM sleep?
Well, depression is definitely linked to as a sleep disorder, and it is linked to REM sleep and the amount of REM sleep you get. We've seen that repeatedly. People that are, their sleep is very disruptive and are not getting REM sleep, that can cause depression. People that get too much REM sleep can cause depression. So it's kind of one of those getting the right balance in there. And high blood pressure can be absolutely related to, especially obstructive sleep apnea, because you're working your heart so hard just to breathe. We all think that we're laying down and resting. We're actually doing physical labor just to breathe if you're snoring really loud.
I see. All right, so I got one more question, if you would. The last caller was talking about naps. I cannot take a nap. If I ever take a nap, I feel like a truck hit me when I wake up. Why is that?
Well, how long are your naps?
Probably 30 minutes or so. But I tell you, it's been so long since I've taken one. Because it feels so bad.
Well, one of the things that what we see usually with napping, the length of the nap, because our normal sleep cycle is we go into REM sleep, which is where we dream, about every 90 to 120 minutes. And if you're getting into that, then that's waking up out of that is where you wake up and you feel like a truck hit you, if you're waking up out of REM sleep. So that, again, is one of the things that, because your body is paralyzed during that, you wake up out of REM sleep, you're not going to feel rested. But if you take a 20-minute nap, usually you're not going to necessarily get into that unless you are chronically sleep deprived.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
What length of nap do you recommend? Like, how long should you take a nap? Like, should it be 40 minutes? I think you said 40 minutes.
I would say that if you are going to nap, I would not go over 60 minutes.
60.
Yeah. So if you're going to nap, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. But it, again, goes back to why are you napping? Are you napping just as a little refresh? Are you napping because you're so tired you can't keep your eyes open? Are you napping because you can't control it? Then some people, that is another sleep disorder, is called narcolepsy. And those people, they just cannot control it. But you give them a 20-minute nap, they wake up and feel like they're 100% ready to go for about two more hours. So that's that, again, is one of those things that they can't control.
I love taking naps. I actually started when my mom started me when I was a little girl. And every day at noon, I take a nap. Like, it's either 11 o'clock, noon, sometimes 1 o'clock, but I always take a daily nap. And I do find that it is, if I sleep too long, like you stated, I'm exhausted. But if it's usually around that hour point, I'm really refreshed. But it's just, it's something I've done almost every day my entire life, is nap. But what do you recommend, like, day-to-day? People who, you know, because even people listening to the show, they're not going to just go to the sleep center, basically. They're just going to keep trying to figure it out on their own. What are some sleep suggestions that you can give to the general population?
Well, like I was saying earlier about the sleep hygiene, that's some of the biggest things, is having very consistent sleep. Our body actually runs on 25-hour clock, not 24. So when you get up in the morning, get sunlight. We happen to live in the greatest place in the world for we get up, we have sunlight most of the time, we can get that bright light therapy. But as we get into the winter months, a lot of people get seasonal depression because they're not getting enough sunlight. So get up, artificial light, whatever, get bright light. That's going to get your body awake and say, okay, it's time for me to be moving. The other thing is, you know, so many people hit the monster drinks and the energy drinks, and those drinks have lots and lots of caffeine. Well, if you have that going through your system all day, it's still going through your system at night. So you're not going to be able to rest like you should. If you need to nap, you know, and you're in a position or you have a job that allows you to nap, that's a great thing. But for the most part, it's just being consistent. And limiting those caffeine and nicotine. Don't smoke right before you go to bed. We've heard a lot about people vaping, and what people don't realize is a lot of those, if you're not paying attention to it, have a lot of caffeine or nicotine in them. So people that are vaping thinking, oh, that's not going to hurt me, it may actually be impacting your sleep just from the nicotine that's in.
Well, what about this? Whenever it rains, I get sleepy. Is that real or is that not real?
Oh, it's definitely real.
Okay.
That sound, I mean, I think it has more to do with the comfort, the sound of the rain, and, you know, and the haze, again, from the difference of light, I think has a lot to do with people feeling that sleepy feeling when it gets rainy and cloudy and stuff like that is the difference in the light.
I want to know a little bit more about, when do you think someone should come to your center, like come to Mobile Infirmary? When should I come, if you know, as a person, when should I come?
I would say really that, you know, like I said, if it's affecting your day-to-day life, if you can't function because you're getting sleepy, then you that's when you want to make that phone call, come to the center, go see a sleep professional, because that's when, if it's affecting your day-to-day life and you're not being able to function, or you don't feel like you're at your best, then that's when we need to intervene at that point, besides letting it go so far as getting into clinical depression or getting into where you can't function.
So there is and I probably would know when I need to come, basically.
Right, absolutely. You know, if it's affecting your health, as in you're getting high blood pressure, if you're getting to be diabetic, one of the things I always tell people, you know, the relationship between sleep and heart problems, diabetics, all of those things are truly intertwined. And if you draw circles and they do overlap, you can draw a circle right in the middle of them, and that's all the people that are with sleep problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious because I feel like I have a sleeping disorder, like I told you earlier.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know 100%. So I think I will I'm going to come because I basically talk with a lot of people that deal with sleep disorders, but their symptoms seem a lot worse than mine. And I don't believe you have to be at the far extreme to go. Maybe if you do before, it's like preventative.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So what are the hours of your center?
We are open from 8 to 4:30, Monday through Fridays when the office is open. Mm-hmm. We do testing of patients at night. But if you want to call the secretary, myself will be there. Like I said, we're there from 8 to 4:30.
What is the number?
251-435-5559. If you just call the hospital and ask for the sleep center, they'll transfer you to us.
Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, please feel free to call us. And also, we're going to return talking a little bit more with Robbie about sleep disorders. And if you have a question or if you really have a concern, please feel free to call us.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. And today I am honored to have Robbie Williams with me. She is someone that is becoming dear to my heart because I do know myself I have sleep issues. So if you have any sleep issues, please feel free to call us, ask Robbie any questions. She can answer pretty much anything about sleep. She is a local expert and she's with the Mobile Infirmary Sleep Center. So, Robbie, thanks for joining us again. Can you please quickly tell everyone how they can reach you?
You can call the Mobile Infirmary Hospital and ask for the Sleep Center, or you can call us directly at 251-435-5559.
And you deal with people that, regardless of what stage of their sleep disorder, whether they is just simple or they just want to get a couple hours or they just can't sleep at all. It's all different stages of phases, correct?
Absolutely. And like I stated earlier, I mean, there's over 1,000 different sleep disorders. Mm-hmm. And we will talk with anybody that feels like they're having a sleep disorder to see if we can help you get a better night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Because it is that fundamental of what you need to have every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mobile Infirmary is local. They're trusted. And I really, like, I research sleep disorders. And because I was, a while back, I was like, you know, I really need sleep. And so when you came up and your information came up, I felt I was at ease because I was like, okay, so they really know what they're doing, everything. You have a child, I go there, you know, pretty much everything. So what, we were talking a little earlier before the break as to when you should go into the center and what signs are there. Like, for example, right now I have really bad bags under my eyes. But what other signs could people see?
Well, we've actually gotten referrals from eye doctors because the people with a lot of bloodshot eyes, that they always wake up in the morning with bloodshot eyes, people that wake up with morning headaches, people that are going to sleep during inappropriate times. If you sit in a meeting and you nod off to sleep, it's probably not a good influence on your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things we see all the time. One of the pushes for the last quite a few years has been by the Department of Transportation to get sleepy drivers off the road, big truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So those people have been, they have to look at that when they get their health screen every year. So all of those kind of people. But if you have high blood pressure, if you are just not sleeping, all of those things that we can help you with, whether it's to give you tips on getting a better night's sleep or actually testing you to find out, are you kicking your legs at night? Do you have sleep apnea? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things are all the things that we can actually test and put numbers on. Insurance companies like our numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only imagine, because everyone on earth sleeps, even like animals, like my cat sleeps.
You're right.
Everybody sleeps. So I guess if you have to take time to care about yourself enough to get the adequate amount of sleep.
Right.
And you suggest what time? Like what do you suggest in terms of a time for sleep?
I would say you need to you need to make time, fit time into, it's time for sleep into your schedule. Mm-hmm. Whatever time you want to go to bed at night, make sure you allot 7 to 8 hours of time to sleep, not just letting them, you know, not just saying, oh, I'll get a couple hours sleep and I'll get up and I'll go. You get into a chronic sleep deprived state.
I think we have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Are you there, Lance?
7 to 8 hours of time.
I think we have a caller on the line. You may have to turn your radio down some.
Go ahead, Lance.
Yes, this is Lance. I was just calling just to see. I sleep. I wake up constantly at night. And I don't, when I wake up in the morning, I don't feel like I'm rested. I'm retired and I don't work. So see, I was just curious to see.
Basically, what the condition is, you sleep at night, you wake up routinely throughout the night, but when you wake up the next day, you don't feel rested. What is that? Is that a symptom of anything?
Well, my first question is going to be, do you snore?
Do you snore?
Well, I've been told I do.
Okay. That's usually one of the biggest things. And typically, especially for those people that are retired and they wake up throughout the night and they never, one of the first things that we're going to do is, you know, if you snore, if you have those I feel bad kind of moments, we're going to bring you actually into the sleep center and test you. We bring you at night. You get to our facility between 7:15 and 7:30 at night. We hook you up so we can actually monitor your brain waves. We know exactly when you go to sleep and what stage of sleep you go into. We put about 27 wires on your head, face, and body. So,
and this is where? At your sleep lab?
It's at the sleep lab.
What is the sleep lab, and how do you get involved in that?
Well, it is a test done at our facility, at Mobile Infirmary. If it's ordered by your physician, by the sleep specialist, then we would bring you in and actually test and see what's going on with your sleep. Mm-hmm. Are you kicking your legs? What's going on with your heart? What's going on with your oxygen level? And what's going on with your brain waves, too? Because a lot of people will come to their sleep facility, oh, I didn't sleep at all. And it's like, yeah, you actually did. Your brain waves are telling me you did. And that can be a state called sleep state misperception, where you're actually sleeping, you just don't feel like you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm. So would this consist of an overnight stay?
Yes, sir. It is an overnight stay because we want to see how your sleep progresses throughout the night. So you come in, you spend the night with us, we let you go first thing in the morning unless the doctors feel like there's something else going on.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Lance. And please feel free to contact Robbie at the Sleep Center at the Mobile Infirmary. What phone number?
Our phone number is 251-435-5559. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're there. We keep office hours from 8 to 4:30. So feel free to call us.
Well, another question that I have, do children have sleep issues?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And children, a lot of children are misdiagnosed with attention deficits, and they're not necessarily, they're fighting sleep. Children should have at least 12 hours of sleep. You know, we are our kids' own worst enemies because kids are not being put to bed. And they need to go to bed. So if you see, I used to say I hated going to Walmart at night because I wanted to take all the parents and say, take your child home and put them to bed. Because kids do need a set bedtime, mm-hmm. and they need more sleep than we do. So kids need to go to bed at 7 or 8, and they need that sleep, and they need it consistently.
Do you see a lot of kids at your center?
We don't. Mm-hmm. We actually do not see kids. Right now in Mobile, Providence Hospital, I believe, is the only one that does see children, mm-hmm. but they do not see young children.
Mm-hmm.
The closest children's sleep center is in Pensacola or in Birmingham.
Oh, wow. Okay. And is that a big problem? I never would have thought that, like children.
A lot of times it can be, especially as if their sleep is very disruptive. Mm-hmm. But we do see sleep disorders in kids.
So before, you know, we go for tonight, I do want you to tell us a little bit about where people can find you, who you are, what your services you provide for people who just tuned in.
I'm Robbie Williams. I'm from the Mobile Infirmary Sleep Disorder mm-hmm. Center. Our phone number is 251-435-5559. Mm-hmm. And you can call us if you would like to get in touch with one of our sleep physicians. Mm-hmm. You can call straight to Diagnostic and Medical Clinics. Just tell them you want to do a sleep consult. Mm-hmm. They'll get you in with one of our doctors. Mm-hmm. If you just want some, you know, advice, I'll be glad to talk with you. I am not a medical doctor. I've just been doing this for a really long time.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Robbie, for joining us tonight. You have been listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and Friends, and we were honored to have Robbie with us tonight. Don't forget to join us next week. We'll be talking all about migraines, the lovely migraine headache.